Today's episode is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you can get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co, and be sure to let them know that RJ from the Ringside Rant sent you and how you heard about Podgo in this portion of your application.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
It's time for another great episode of The Ringside Rant with your host from the hills of West Virginia, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, this is RJ.
Time on this case station is very expensive, but I'm going to spend some of it. 1 year ago, J.J. Dillon came to me, came to Flair, came to Tully. He said, there's a guy down in the Everglades of Florida with a fantastic body and willing to learn, a diamond in the rough. So what we did was we sacrificed our time, our body, to train Luger in the aspects of being a horseman. He came along real well. Well, Luger, for you to stand to the forefront, correct James J. Dillon verbally, then put your hands on him physically, you put yourself in no man's land, fella. What's happened? The Four Horsemen were here long before you came here. They're going to be here long after you leave. Now, you're the perfect physical specimen. You're the total package. But what you are alone is just another man. With the Horsemen, you rose to greatness, better than you could ever be by yourself. But the bottom line is, my friend, you want to find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. We're not going to draw straws to see who gets on you, Luger. You want to be the total package. You're no longer a horseman. I'm going to look you eye to eye. We're going to find out. Don't cry about the game plan. The problem was the execution. The game plan was fine. You're not the athlete to pull it off like you think you are. You were coached by the greatest of them all, James J. Dillon. You were trained by the greatest of them all, Dolly Blanchard, myself, Ric Flair. Any shortcomings you had on your own. Now you want to find out if you're the total package. You want a full grip on what the Four Horsemen are all about. You're looking at the measuring stick. I'm coming for you, Luger. Don't be looking for me.
That's it,
man. Yeah. It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of The Ringside Rant is with you right now. I am the man with the magical voice. He is the man, the myth, the legend, everybody's favorite referee.
You know it.
JD Justin Davis. What's up, man?
Hey, how are you, RJ? It is a pleasure to be back on the show this week. I got a lot of good feedback from last week's Ground Zero show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fired up and ready to go on this one because we got a great topic this week, right?
Yeah, a lot of good reactions, a lot of people going back, and new listeners, new feedback, new questions this week for later in the show. So definitely thank you to each and every one of you that has interacted with us. You can do that by just simply going to the Twitter machine there. I am at @_ringside rant. He is at JD2040. Just interact with us. DMs are always open, or just tweet at us, and we're pretty good about getting back. Unless Justin's at a game or outside with his dog in the pool or.
Well, I know this, RJ, when I first started doing this show with you,
yeah,
our questions a lot of times would be relegated to the devilish one, Devin Dowling.
Yeah.
And Money Mike.
Right.
And now our questions are definitely getting widened out to a lot more people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very excited about that. That's awesome. Love the interaction, guys. Like he said, our DMs are open. I will always answer you if you send me something. Devin Dowling can tell you that. So just hit me up, hit RJ up, and we will try to get it on the show.
As long as it's something Bret Hart related, Justin will take it every day. Yes. And take that DM every day and twice on Sunday.
If you send two Bret Hart questions, that means your questions will be the only ones asked, because I'll go on so long that we won't have time for any.
Yeah, he'll go on the run sheet that I send him through Google Docs, and he'll edit everything out and just have the questions there. He won't talk about anything else, because he probably could talk to about Bret Hart for an hour and a half, an hour or whatever. But no, yeah, just thanks everybody. We'll obviously give all the deets at the end and all that crap. So, but Justin,
let's talk about the enforcer, not the little enforcer who is famous on this show and famous from Top Guy Weekend, but let's talk about the real enforcer.
The little enforcer. So would you want, who would win in a fight? Arn Anderson, the enforcer, or Andre the Giant size little enforcer?
I'm going with Arn on that. I don't know. Little enforcer has a lot of spunk, and if you put him in that big body, that could be, I don't know. Arn likes to put people over. He might just put little enforcer over there.
I don't know if he's all hopped up on flaming red hot Cheetos and some Mountain Dew, he could really
or some shots that he drank at Top Guy Weekend.
Side note here. Okay. I have to say this because this is going to get into the weeds, and we promise we're not going to get into it that much, but before, I think it was Saturday when everything happened, right?
It's Friday night.
Was it Friday night? Oh, cause it was karaoke.
Yeah.
And I think it was Friday afternoon. After we got back from the ball game, I saw him in the lobby and said, just said hi and chatted a little bit. And he's like, "Hey, do me a favor, Michael." "Anything, Dave, what's up?" He's like, "Later, if we're at the bar and I go to order shots or people start ordering shots for me, tell me not to take them."
Well, you failed.
Well, I failed. That's for damn sure.
You were the reason that this happened to Bonwater Dave. It's all your fault, RJ.
Oh, yeah. It's my fault that he gets to get pictures taken with Orange Cassidy and here's the thing, Dark Order.
Here's the thing. He was doing the right thing. Little Enforcer knew that you were going to be the sober one. You don't drink. Yeah. So I can entrust RJ. No, RJ's going to Shivani his job like he fucking does everything else in his life.
Well, yeah, pretty much. But I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, I was being all social and stuff. I'm like, oh, where the hell? Oh, shit. There's Dave. He's passed out.
There's Dave over there doing shots with JD and Timmy C.
So it's your and Timmy's fault. That's it. That's not my fault.
I'm trying to think who else was there doing shot. Oh, it was Mike Hoop. That's who. It's Mike Hoop's fault.
Yeah.
It was Mike Hoop and Pondwater. And I'm in line to get a drink, and I see them getting shots, and I'm like, well, hell, I'll get in on this. Next thing I know, Pondwater's passed out getting pictures taken with fucking Orange Cassidy.
And he doesn't remember him. That's the funny part.
You have to run a recognizance mission to get his ass, little ass, up to his little bed.
It was me, you, and Anthony Pyers. And I'm like, cripe. I'm like,
by the way, Pondwater said in reaction to our show last week, he said that we will never buy drinks again at one of these events. I don't know if he realizes what kind of hit on his wallet that's going to do to him if he's giving me free drinks.
Well, you alone, period. I don't know.
That's
what I'm saying.
He'll have to take a second mortgage out through savewithconrad.com
he'll have to add another wing to the Holiday Inn just to pay for it, you know, just to get people to come
he's
in.
He's going to have to sell a lot of Cheetos. That's all I'm saying.
That's a whole lot of Cheetos. Actually, side note, I had some Cheetos before we got on. The crunchy Cheetos, absolutely fantastic. The regular ones, but anyways, that's beside the point. They're not a sponsor.
Little Enforcer, we're here to talk about the main Enforcer.
There we go.
The Enforcer.
Thanks for steering me back, Justin. So, Arn Anderson, he's turning 63 years young on the 20th. Of this month, and I figured very near and dear to both our hearts, being obviously a part of ad-free shows, we get to talk to him on occasion on some Zooms, obviously listen to his show with Conrad early and ad-free. If you go over to adfreeshows.com, become a member. But he is low-key. I shouldn't say he's not low-key anymore. He is legitimately the best, in my opinion, television champion of all time. And yes. I'm not just saying WCW, NWA. I'm talking any type of television champion.
No, ever. I agree.
And I haven't heard a discussion on an alternative, regardless of company. But he's just one of those guys. Like with Gavin, we're watching a lot of the old school stuff as they're going through that with WHW, watching 86 now. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching it. So I go back and I watch some of the older WCW Nitros when he comes back and he's reforms with the Horsemen, all that. He's like, Daddy, who's that guy? Who's that big guy? Oh, it's Arn Anderson.
That guy with that pumpkin head.
Yeah. Who's that guy? Who's yeah? Who's that guy with the glasses? And he's a little heavier. Oh, that's Arn Anderson. And he's like, yeah, he's so cool. I'm like, well, bud, you got to go back to when, you know, back until when I was about 2 to 3 years old and I wasn't knew nothing about Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
And I implore everybody, go back to the Peacock Network or whatever the hell it's called now. You have to search it.
The speech where he brings the Nature Boy out in 1998.
That's in Charlotte, right?
Either that or Greensboro.
Oh, it might have been Greensboro. It's one of the two.
It's Greensboro.
Yeah, because I just saw
when they
it,
bring
yeah.
Rick out and he hits himself in the head like, oh, I forgot the most important part.
I know I've been racked in my head a few times, but yeah, you know, before we get too far into it, let's send it up to Rich because I know he's waiting in the wings right now. He's off
I'm
to
sure
my left.
He's about to jump off the bridge. He can't wait.
Yeah, he can't. You know, it's like he's standing right over here eyeballing me, so I don't want to make him wait anymore because he's going to beat me up. So
the way he's been losing weight, he's probably eyeballing you trying to find a piece of an oatmeal pie or something in the desk.
Oh, well, those are in the freezer. But anyways, I'll bring Rich in now. He can come in and he'll introduce us.
Ringside Rant fans, it's the opening contest.
All right, thanks for that, Rich. Justin, what better place to start than the beginning? I know we talked about his WCW run there as later in his career before. I believe we're talking about his speech there with
the 98.
Reunion
of the Four Horsemen.
Right, it was him, McMichael, Benoit and Flair.
I think Malenko was there.
Oh, Malenko was there.
I don't know if
I don't think
Mongo was.
Mongo wasn't was at that point. I think it was it was Dean and Chris and Arn and Rick. But do you think that speech there before, and we'll get back into it a little bit. We apologize. We're gonna be probably all over the board with this, but do you think that speech was better than his My Spot speech?
Yes.
Just because of the time and just being 90, because My Spot was later. That was like 96.
That was 97 when he got 97. Hurt, I think. Early 97.
Yeah.
But you know, here's the thing. All you got to do when you ask these questions is watch the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd was blowing their heads up when he was announcing Rick out there and he gave that speech with the reunion of the Four Horsemen. I'm sure one Miss Amy Vaughn, once again, like in a prior show, we may have needed to get a towel underneath her. That just, it got over with the fans, man. I know as a kid, like I kept thinking, I was in eighth grade, I'm like, where the fuck has Rick been? Like, I want mm-hmm. Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
Why watch WCW if Ric Flair's not there? When he, you know, I was psyched for that. That was a buildup of, I mean, he had been fighting with Bischoff for a year, right? Or damn near.
Pretty much. Because
like
when
eight
he,
months
when he left.
Or something. Yeah. He'd been gone a long time. And it was like, come on, get those horsemen back together. So, yeah, I would have to go with that.
And it's just, when in doubt, you can always rely on the horsemen, bar none.
Like the My Spot speech was kind of sad because it's like, fuck, Arn can't
he's done.
Wrestle
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
So as far as like, you know, being excited about it, what was better? I like the reunion better.
Well, they were both really monumental speeches. And that's one of the things where, and any workers, guys, gals, whomever listening to the show know and don't know how good, you're younger in the business, you're younger watching professional wrestling, go watch an Arn promo. We played one at the beginning of the show here, but there isn't a bad Arn promo ever. There really isn't.
If you want to hear some good Arn promos, go listen to Arn's podcast.
Yeah,
go listen to Tony Schiavone's podcast, because both of them are covering 85 and 86 right now.
Because Arn's doing 85, and I love that.
And there just is a great Arn promo in every fucking show every week.
Well,
sometimes two or three.
Well, right, but and I think that's going to be a new format across the board. We'll go into this a little bit, because with the guys that Conrad has on ad-free shows.
Wait a minute. I said Arn and Tony. Who's Conrad? What's he do?
Oh, he's some mortgage guy from Alabama.
It looked like he had dinosaur legs, or like, you know, just like one of those ones that eat the leaves. You know how just there's no difference between the foot and the leg?
The brontosaurus?
Yeah, that's kind of what it looked like to me when I saw this guy at Top Guy Weekend.
Interesting. I'd rather have, or would you say, dinosaur legs?
I love you, Conrad. I always got to fuck with you.
Dinosaur legs instead of dinosaur arms like Tony? No, it was good to see. And Tony was having fun. You could see, especially with Tony. Especially
in the chat with Tony the other night on Zoom, on the, you know, first one since after Top Guy Weekend, was really fun.
Yeah.
Let's talk about where he started.
Well, he started training with Ted Allen in 82, and basically all over, running up and down the U.S. independence. 82 independence, man. That was just trying to think on how interesting they are now.
Everything was an independent, pretty much. Was a territory.
Well, it was a territory.
And then there was territories within territories.
Well, but then 82, we're not yet, New York's not as big as it soon would be in two years. In 84, Sheik, Hogan, Backlund, all those guys. Andre.
I would say pro wrestling on its own isn't as big in 82 as it would be in 84 to 89.
And he did end up going, and I ended up watching some of this stuff before the network switched, when it was the WWE network, and before they switched to Peacock, is when they had the old school Mid-South wrestling from 82 to 83.
Mm-hmm. I hate that they've lost so much shit from the network. Like, God, I want to go back. That's the stuff that I want to watch, because I've seen all the WWE shit. I've seen all the WCW shit. I have not seen, you know, Mid-South or Smoky Mountain Wrestling or whatever. And that shit's gone now. It's like, what the fuck? Like, well, you bought that shit for a reason. Play it.
But even go, honestly, and this is another shout out to Poundwater Dave. Go watch the WCCW stuff out of Texas. Because you get to see these great feuds with the Von Erichs and the Freebirds. Horseman and Dusty.
Gino Hernandez.
Gino Hernandez is one of those guys.
I know he was more of a Houston guy for Bosch, but I think he ran over there. I mean,
but he ran
Jim
over the
Cornette. Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express started there.
And it's just, Gino was just one of those guys. You see the Dark Side of the Ring stuff, and you see that stuff, and you're like, just go back, throw him in YouTube, throw him in Google, whatever. Watch
so underappreciated.
Oh, by
like,
far.
You know what I consider Gino Hernandez? Like a Davey Allison in NASCAR.
Right.
Someone that was fucking brilliant and died way too early.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would have got the full run of it, they may have been one of the best of all time. And Gino Hernandez is up that high for me.
Can you imagine a Gino and Arn for the TV title, having him go up north to mid-Atlantic with the
NWA?
Can
you imagine, talk about the box of gimmicks, right?
Right.
Can you imagine if Gino got the Mr. Perfect, or not the Mr. Perfect? Well, he could have done
that. He could have done that.
Yes, but I was thinking the model
Rick Martel
with more of an asshole heel like Gino was. I think he could have got over big with that model gimmick.
Well, I think with Gino, he could have made those two
work so well, but he was just so good at what he did to just get fucking hated.
I always thought Gino would have been great in the Four Horsemen too.
Well, it could have been. He's better than Paul.
Gino, you imagine Gino in the Four Horsemen though, like, because Gino already, he already had that gimmick. Like, I've got the, you know, he kind of had the Flair gimmick.
But who'd you take? But who would you take out though?
Gino instead of Barry Windham.
Oh, okay, yeah. I wouldn't take Tully or Arn out. I obviously can't take Flair out.
No.
But yeah, no, that would definitely, that would work for me too. Just taking nothing, obviously, against Barry.
Leave Barry Windham a baby face and let him go off, like, kind of take the Magnum TA spot at that time.
Right, and start feuding with the Horseman. But by mid 83, we're looking at Arn going to Southeastern Championship Wrestling, one of the affiliates of the NWA, and becoming the Super Olympia, working for the Ron Fuller's stud stable.
I like that gimmick, Super Olympia. I think you should wear a mask. It would probably help your gimmick too if you covered that up.
Yeah, well, now that for work, I got to wear everything up to here anyways. I'm still fucking vaccinated.
Thank God for Corona.
Yeah, right.
Up some of that mug.
Yeah, well, hey, you can cover up my face, but you can't cover up my hair. But I, in my research, I totally forgot that he was part of Ron Fuller's stud stable.
Yeah.
And look at my...
And you can hear that on the mothership.
We won't
mention the super podcast.
We won't mention that name, but yeah, I just to be associated that early, just basically getting success after success after success. And he's always been said, hey, I wasn't born to be a construction worker. I wasn't born to be a teacher or a doctor. I was born to be a professional wrestler. And those words just roaring superior just by going seeing his list of accolades.
Imagine if Arn Anderson was your doctor. You come in here like, well, here's what we're going to do. You know, like, this guy's way too calm about my cancer right now.
Well, see here, I get whacked in the brain too, or the head too often now. He starts beating himself up, but
he finds his way down to Georgia, right? I think it's down on the beach where he starts out first. Sorry.
Yeah, down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he starts tagging with guys like Pat Rose, winning the tag titles there in
Destin and Panama City in that area.
Panama City, yeah.
He loves Destin, and I agree. I've been to that beach. The water is clear as hell. The sand is white. Destin is a nice little vacay spot. I like
it. Yeah, I've been there one years ago before kids and all that stuff. We went down there for friends of ours' wedding. They got married right there on the beach in October. Well, yeah, October. They got married Halloween, something like that. Anyways, beside the point. But yeah, it's just he's getting thrusted into this territory, early 80s, mid 80s. To me, Arn Anderson's years, basically like legitimacy from 80, I'd say late 84, early 85, all the way up to probably about 86 or 87, I think. Just because he's starting down in...
I would go all the way up to 89, man, because...
But then he goes up north.
We watched that shit with the Brainbusters, you know, when him and Dax and Cash come and watch that match from SummerSlam 89. That's pretty top-notch shit.
And Bret Hart does not suck, Timmy C.
That's right.
How
and neither
he.
Did Arn or Tully or Jim in this match.
But... We'll get to a little bit more in depth later in with their WWF run there. But they work so well as those heels going against teams like you mentioned with the Hart Foundation, Bret and Jim,
And putting them with
Midnights, even not so much Midnight. You'd see the Midnights later on before they went up north, losing the tag straps to them there in 89. And then just their feuds with Rock and Roll, they made the Rock and Roll Express look a hell of a lot better than they actually were. And it's just amazing to see this their whole association there, we'll get into it more, but is they're associating with Bobby Heenan then too. But before they go obviously up north in 89, he goes over to Mid-South, based out of Shreveport, Louisiana. And he knew he wasn't going to be there for long. He had to, just because of that territory with Junkyard Dog and with Bill Watts. It wasn't, I don't think he was put in the right position. I don't think Bill Watts knew what he wanted he could do with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of, it's something similar to what you see nowadays with the WWE and NXT, is they don't know what the hell to do with some people. So they just put them to the side.
No, but I'll say this about his run there with Watts.
Yeah.
I think it taught Arn a lot. You know, Bill was Bill. Okay. Yeah. And I don't agree with everything he says, but I think Bill taught Arn a lot. You know what I mean? Just like he taught Jim Ross a lot.
Yeah.
He taught the skull and bones and how to get over and all that stuff, how to sell. You know, I feel like Watts helped Arn in this, even though it wasn't a successful, you know, what you would consider a big run there, but mm-hmm. I think it helped him a lot in the long run.
Yeah. I think that he got him on the right direction. I don't think he helped him as much as he could have in Mid-South. But in, let's say, I think at that time, probably spring, late winter, early spring of 85, he gets that call from JCP, Jim Crockett Jr., Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. They're a little bit more south or north here in the Virginias, Carolinas, heavy in the Carolinas, obviously. And by, like I said, by 85, spring of 85, what have you, they're expanding their range even more outside of the Virginias, Carolinas. They're not over there in the hills of West Virginia yet. So that's soon to come. They haven't figured out how to drive their ring truck up the hills.
Hey, Huntington was a big and Charleston and Parkersburg. That was a big, they were big towns for NWA back in the 80s.
Right. But they started to expand down to Georgia after Vince McMahon purchased Georgia Championship Wrestling. So they expand down to Georgia to get that stronghold and try to get that that recognition down there. Mm-hmm. And then they notice, they being the guys in the office of JCP, Jim Crockett Jr. himself, how I love this story, and we can discuss it a little bit more in depth, but the resemblance between Arn and Ole, and dude, put these guys together, man.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked so well together. Both great workers. Forget about the stories you've heard about Ole. I don't care, but you get that style of like no nonsense bullshit. They're going to go into the ring. They're going to beat the shit out of you. Legitimately.
Their promos are similar.
Right.
And I'm sure that Arn would credit, you know, Ole, because listen to some of this 85 and 86 stuff on the podcast. Ole could give a fucking promo, and it wasn't someone that's going to scream their head off, but the things he says matters. And I feel like that's how Arn always was. Like Arn would get excited and yell sometimes, but he, you know, he wasn't a Hulk Hogan person or somebody like that that just goes off the rails on their promos.
Yeah.
And Ole was like that. So I feel like Ole was a big influence on Arn and his promos, which that's a great influence.
But you can't go wrong with any of them. And you bring that up with Ole's promo style. Jake Roberts was the same way. He wouldn't talk in the same monotone voice. He's not yelling.
But then when you like fast forward a year or so and put those guys with Rick in the Four Horsemen, that's perfect because their style is the opposite of Rick's, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it goes together because you let them go first and tell the like the real story, and then you let Rick go, I got the shoes and the $6,000, you know, and that shit just mixes well.
Right. But we start to see a lot of success, even more success for Arn when he gets into Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. By March of 85, he's winning the tag straps with Ole. And just the highest of profile matches that you're having with, like I said, Rock and Roll Express. You're having matches, putting that titles against on the line against Wahoo and Billy Jack Haynes. And the as much as the styles clashed between guys like that, especially with the Rock and Roll Express, more so Road Warriors, guys like that, that they could really have some stiff matches with. They helped the Rock and Roll get over more than they did in the Carolinas. Rock and Roll Express was probably one of the most over tag teams at that time in the, you know, mid 80s there. As far as the faces go, because you knew you had the tag team there with the Road Warriors going up and down. They could go either way as far as being a heel or face,
mostly
I think.
Faces.
But mostly
time.
Faces, yeah. There wasn't really a designated heel team, but then you have Arn and Tully, mm-hmm. Arn and Ole, that, like you said, stiff as can be sometimes, but they could get over themselves and they could get whoever. They knew how to get everybody else over as well.
The biggest thing they knew how to do was get heat.
Oh, by far.
And get heat in the right way, not bullshit heat that you see now.
Oh, yeah.
Real heat.
Yeah, not MJF heat, fucking bastard.
Ooh, hot take.
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, end of the weeds on there. But no, seriously, I a lot of people will always say, hey, it's always been Arn and Tully, Arn and Tully, Arn and Tully. And I get it. I like it. But go back here to 85, watch these matches with him and Ole against these guys, because they're just, you can't compare the two factions or two teams because they're different ends of the spectrum.
Very different.
Yeah. Very, very different. And different times too, different body types, whatever. But when you're having matches with big stars, like we mentioned Rock and Roll, we mentioned Road Warriors, they're having these feuds with Dusty, feuds with Magnum, and
Sam Houston.
Fine.
He doesn't qualify in that category.
He's still talking with his fucking promo now. But back in my mind, I'm thinking when I'm watching a lot of this stuff for the first time, because at this time you and I are only about 2 years old at this time,
mm-hmm.
and we never got it up north. I don't know about you, but we never
saw this. No. I never saw this until I got Peacock.
Right, and that's why I like going back and said
until I got the network. I'm sorry, that's the Peacock.
But going back and watching it now, and seeing it for the first time, it's like, God damn, this good shit was so good. Now you're starting to see what they're doing. You're starting to see teams like FTR do stuff. So many other tag teams demonstrating
What's old is new again. Exactly. When it comes to that.
Just like my hair.
Well, and it just shows you the influence that Arn and Tully and,
right.
you know, that specifically Arn.
Right.
Arn was just a perfect combination of both. Mm-hmm. Arn was a great talker and a fantastic worker. And mm-hmm. Tully was too, honestly. But I always dug Arn's promos more than Tully's. I just felt like they were more believable in some which way.
I think with a tag team, such like guys like Tully and Arn, one guy usually can talk where the other guy just sits there.
Yeah.
That's bad to say. Not just sit there, but kind of sit back and let him do it. I think that was how Tully and Arn complimented to each other so well, was Arn would talk. Arn was used to talking when his singles run. Tully didn't really have, he did have that singles run there for the
Well, and he had a big
TV title with Magnum, but
he had a big singles run in his dad's promotion,
right?
Way before that. So, I mean, he'd been around, he knew how to give a promo,
right? So I just wanted to hit on a couple things before we go up to Rich again, but by January, I gotta get down here. I got my going up and down of this freaking research sheet that I typed out, but he'd start to have some single success, winning the vacant TV title in January of 86. And then simultaneously being one half of the NWA National Tag Team Champions as well. So they're strapping a rocket to him and taking him to the moon. And rightfully so. And more towards the end of 86 here, the Andersons would start to align themselves very carefully
with their cousin Rick.
With their cousin Rick and JJ would come in later on, but you're starting to see that early incarnation of the Horsemen before Tully got in there. But damn, man, like I said, 86 was the year of Arn. And I would like anybody to really tell me otherwise.
Speaking of cousins, which I agree 86 was, but speaking of cousins, how many cousins do you think Rick's nieces and nephews have?
Frick Flair?
Yeah, his nieces and nephews, meaning how many kids do you think Ric Flair genuinely has?
That he knows about, or that are
well, we know how many he knows about. I'm just saying, I'm sure there's some wild ones running out there.
Oh, there's gotta be some Flair kids out there that we don't know about. There's gotta be,
yeah.
And no, with there some... has to be. All right, they're wooing up and down streets or something.
Oh, yeah.
But no, yeah, he is, like we said, a part of this Horseman, faction. They're starting to feud like with Dusty again, with Magnum again, Road Warriors,
and of course our name's the Horsemen too. We should mention that. That's pretty cool.
But and that's what gets him over even more when he starts to do this Horseman thing. And then by, like we said, 89, he's up north with WWF at that time.
Can I just say, I've got to throw up the four with Arn twice in my life. One time with him and Tully and the belts at StarCast, throwing up the four with him. And then here at Top Guy Weekend, I got to throw it up again. And yeah, it's just fucking awesome to do it, man.
And I was so pissed, I totally forgot. I'm like, it's one of those, you're in the moments and you're like, oh shit, I should probably, oh wait, no, I forgot. God damn it. But it would be a short, obviously short-lived run there in WWF in 89. Yes. I know we got
but a great run.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, they were used so well. Vince threw them right at the top of the tag team ranks. And honestly, that was some really good tag teams back then. You had the Bulldogs. You had the Hart Foundation. I think the Rockers were there. Yeah, the Rockers were there. Their Demolition. There was so many good tag teams. And for Vince to just take them in and throw them right at the top and give them the belts and put them with Bobby, like, that's a big fucking push.
Yeah. I think being part of the Heenan family really got him over even more as heels, because Bobby was hated. You know, he had guys like Andre, he had Rude, he had, I think we had one time he had King Kong Bundy, I think. And got him over even more. And I just, like I said, we got a couple of questions about them and him in the WWF. So I don't want to go too far into it. We'll wait till we get our listener question asked. But he's a four-time TV champion. He would later go like 91, 90. He had matches in 91 with Beautiful Bobby. He had matches with Barry Windham. Just those single runs before they reformed the Four Horsemen there. Like you said, back there in 90, about 97, 98 there.
Mm-hmm. Had that great match with Renegade.
Oh, Jesus. I wanted to go one show without mentioning him because I knew it was there. And it's just like, It's like wiping before you shit. It just doesn't make sense. Excuse me. But one thing that does make sense, we'll say, is going up to Rich Palladino right now and getting up
absolutely
us over to the Rants and Raves.
Hey guys, the man with the magical voice, RJ, here with you just for a quick moment to tell you about a great sponsor, EveryPlate. If you like food like I do, this is the go-to for meal kit orders. Not only is it one of America's best value meal kits, but the recipes come together in about 30 minutes, definitely faster than going down the street to the grocery store, getting all the ingredients, coming home, putting them together, and then eating them. It takes forever to do that stuff from scratch sometimes. But with EveryPlate, not only are they fast and easy to make, but they also come with easy-to-follow recipe cards and pre-portioned ingredients, so you can spend less time prepping and cooking, and quite frankly, spend more time enjoying the good food with your family and loved ones. EveryPlate offers a changing menu of 14 recipes per week, featuring a range of flavors and ingredients, so you'll never, ever be bored again. But quite frankly, and let's be honest, the affordability of these easy meals means more money left over to spend with your family on summer vacations, on concert tickets. Pretty much whenever you purchase anything from EveryPlate, it's more money in your pocket that you can spend on your family and loved ones. It's common sense, folks. But here's the real important part, guys. Head over to EveryPlate.com and enter the code RingsideRant199 to get started with EveryPlate for just $1.99 per meal. Just go to EveryPlate.com and enter the code RingsideRant199. It's pretty simple, guys. My family loves it. My family loves me cooking every night. And with EveryPlate, I can do that and save money at the exact same time. So head over right now to EveryPlate.com and use the promo code RingsideRant199 to start saving today. Thanks to our friends over at EveryPlate.com.
It is now time for Rants and Raves.
Hi, Justin. Rants and Raves this week. We don't have a lot. We want to kind of dedicate a lot of this show to everybody that has been submitting questions, especially this week, too. We got a couple new ones. We'll get into it in a little bit. But we want to really dedicate a lot of this show to you guys this week just because of, you know, the dedication you've given Justin and I last couple of weeks with submitting these questions. So we only have a couple rants and raves we want to get to this week. And we pretty much can go pretty much talk about them for a while, a little bit anyways. It's one of those questions we talked about, Arn being one of the best stick guys out there. One of the best, if not the best TV champion of all time. Modern day. I know you don't watch a lot of the current product. So we can kind of leave it within, like, probably within the last decade. We'll go with that. Of who you think is today's version of Arn Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know this is gonna seem like an easy answer.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of Cody Rhodes for me.
I can see that. I can see that. I can respect that.
He gives a good, genuine promo like Arn and can work his ass off. And they're about the same size. They're not big guys.
Right.
You know?
So
to me, I kind of see Cody, a lot of Arn and Cody. Like, I see more Arn and Cody than I do his dad. You know what
really?
I mean? Like,
okay.
His dad was, you know, that over the top, listen, baby, we're going to get here, sweet sassafras, you know, And actually, we didn't talk about this, but when Arn got to NWA, it was Dusty that called him into the office and said, "Go get over."
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I just don't see a lot of that extreme charisma in Cody. He's more of a straight shooter kind of promo like Arn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'll get shit on for that opinion, but I think.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I got a couple guys in mind I saw when I was thinking about this, and they're all from NXT and WWE, because I don't really see outside of that what you said about Cody. I don't really see anybody else, to me anyways. There may be, but I don't see anybody else in AEW right now that can really do that. The two guys NXT currently that I see is Tommaso Ciampa, spoiler alert, I just got a notification is a new NXT champion.
That's awesome.
Again,
love that.
He never lost. He's a Northeast guy too. He's from the New England area.
I'm a huge Ciampa mark.
He's like one of those guys that, like Arn, didn't really have to say a lot. Let his work speak for itself in the ring. But when he spoke, you knew it and you respected it and you enjoyed it. Whether he was a heel, whether he was a face, whatever, you respected it. Another guy there in NXT that reminds me of Arn is Pete Dunne.
Mm-hmm.
One of the... I'd say the best guy, one of the best pure wrestlers in the world out of the UK. And he doesn't talk a lot. And he is the kind of guy like Arn that would literally pick apart a body part. He would pick apart your hand, then your arm, then your knee, then your leg, then your other arm, and just go all the way around you and just break you down before picking you up just to tear you down again. Yeah. Psychologically taking you down as well, like Arn would with a lot of these guys. And lastly, but certainly not least, this guy's always been on my radar for this type of unsung heroes, we could call them, of professional wrestling is Cesaro.
Oh, yeah. He's another one I love.
And just...
I'm a mark for him, too.
I don't know why... I haven't seen if he's hurt or whatever, if he's not on TV or what. Honestly, I'm not watching SmackDown or Raw anyways. I didn't watch NXT.
I heard SmackDown and Raw were both really good this week. Yeah. I haven't watched either one.
But Cesaro, he's just got that background. You know, mm-hmm. was up and down the roads with Claudio Castagnoli, whatever the heck his name is. We'll call him Claudio.
Yeah.
In ROH overseas, all that stuff. And just knockout, drag out fights, man. And that's what
and if you guys think of anyone that you think, let us know. Leaving anybody out.
And I'm sure once we get it stop recording, I'll think of probably about another handful, like, oh shit, I should have said this guy or that guy. And then and go out there too and play Fantasy Booker and see what you think, you know. What we briefly touched on it as well is the comparing Arn and Tully or Arn and Ole.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since I made this run sheet for this episode, I'm like, it's just racking my brain over it. I'm thinking way too much about this. Which one do I like better? Because they're both fantastic, bar none.
Well, I'll go ahead and give my answer.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
And you know that I tend to lean toward workers.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Tully as a worker better than Ole. And I love Ole. I'm not shitting on him. But I like Arn and Tully better. I mean, I don't think Arn and Ole could have had that match with the Hart Foundation at SummerSlam 89 that Arn and Tully had. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason alone, I'm going on Arn and Tully.
Well, I knew you were going to go with Arn and Tully to begin with. And I'm sorry, Amy, but I'm going to go with Arn and Arn and Ole. Just simply for the fact of they only put Arn on the map, man. He put him on.
He did.
I don't think.
And like we talked about Ole's influence on Arn's promos, right. I think. And just and not only that, but getting heat as a tag team and keeping someone in the your corner. And I think he learned a lot from Ole.
Right. You know. And I don't want to go too far into it.
It's so weird that their name's Ole and Tully. Like, what?
Yeah. you don't get like Mike or John Ole, or Joe. Tully. But I don't think that, and I hate saying this because I think he would have succeeded regardless, but do you really think without Arn, or excuse me, without with Ole and Flair, you don't think Arn would have gotten to the high level that he did?
No.
You don't think so?
No. And I love Arn, but he just, he would have been a mid-card dude for a while, and then who knows what happens after that. He probably would have went to WWE and got given some shitty gimmick like the Red Rooster. I guess he couldn't have done that, and he don't have the hair, but you know, whatever. And then who knows. I love Arn. I just think that the whole Four Horsemen built him to where he needed to go.
Yeah,
because he had everything else. He had the promo. He had the work ability. He didn't have the so-called look that, you know, Vince McMahon would say, "God damn, pal, I got to make him my world champion." You know, he's not going to do that.
Oh, no.
And so, and probably neither is Jim Crockett. And so without the Rick and the Four Horsemen Association, I don't know what would have happened. I definitely know this. He wouldn't have got to where he got. And no. I think Arn would admit that.
Oh yeah, and especially at that time too, because you get that territorial wrestling, you're gonna see a lot of people all over the place. But one place we're gonna see Mr. Rich Palladino is
at right the gym.
It's at the gym. One and two is gonna be in that ring very, very soon, announcing once again. But for now, he's introducing us to our listener questions of the week.
Here we go.
DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, is putting you in the center of this weekend's action. New customers can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize with their first deposit by signing up using the promo code RingsideRant. Get in on the action now. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like you never have before with a free shot at $1 million payday. All you have to do is download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code RingsideRant. This week, new customers can get a free shot at the $1 million prize and compete for millions in other prizes across all contests. All you have to do is go and download the DraftKings app across all your platforms and use the promo code RingsideRant. A minimum deposit of $5 is required. Eligible restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
It's listener questions.
All right. So what better way to start than with Money Mike? He is at Michael LMCL. Follow him on Twitter. His first question out of four this week is, I had to cut it down. He gave me like 20, so I had to cut it down a little bit.
He really needs to start working more on that CPA job. I feel bad really for does. Those schools that he's auditing.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. So,
his first question is, what is one Arn Anderson feud we never got to see occur that you wish we could have seen?
That's an easy answer. Arn Anderson, Bret Hart, 1998. If Arn wouldn't have got hurt. I'm sorry. I love their 89 SummerSlam match. Their tag team match, I just would have liked to seen a little personal feud between the two. Both could give good promos. Both could work in the ring. It would have been a great fucking feud. I'm just saying.
Okay, so there he was in WWE, we said 89.
Mm-hmm.
What other superstar in the WWF debuted around that time?
Dusty Rhodes?
Nope. Not 89. Close to it.
90. That was 90.
Yeah. So, The Undertaker.
That was 90. That was 90. Yeah.
If he would have stayed around, Arn, that
well,
is.
Well, he gave Undertaker a fucking spine buster.
But not in the 90s. It was in that Flair match in Houston.
I love this.
Or was it Houston? No. Toronto.
Yeah. Toronto. I mean, Arn could have sold for the big nasty heel Undertaker at the time, but Arn would have had to be in a face.
Well, that's a problem. Yeah. You'd have to figure it out. But anyways, I'm sure they could find some way of making that happen. But yeah, I would have loved to see that Undertaker or even
Shawn. I'll tell you another one I would have liked to seen. If let's make believe that Arn and Tully stay.
Yeah.
And they break up and Arn becomes the face. How about Arn versus Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental title? That would be fucking amazing.
That would be legit.
Perfect selling that spine buster.
Oh dude. My God. But if you go back, you can watch Michaels as part of the Rockers selling that. Can you just get Michaels and him there staying there in the company?
There's all kinds of people, nice. Man, that you can talk about. I'd love to see Arn and Owen. I'd love to see Arn and Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think that would be badass. Mm-hmm. All kinds of shit there. What's our second question?
So our second question from Money Mike.
Fake CPA that doesn't even work.
We've yet to see him work. So how is he really a CPA?
I mean, I see him on Zooms every night and he asks questions to every podcast known to man every day. So I don't know what the fuck he does.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah. Well. Money Mike, I don't feel the same way as Justin. You can keep on asking your questions. But anyways, his second question is, who is in more danger of receiving a spine buster, Arn's in-ring opponent or the waiter that hands him a double cheeseburger with extra cheese? I think there's only one answer to this.
See, this is why he has too much time on his hands. He's asking these stupid-ass questions here.
I don't think it's stupid.
Stop it. Stop it, Mike.
Don't you live up to that heel persona?
I'm about to ban your questions if you ask any more dumbass questions like that. What's number three, RJ?
Mike, you can just send them right to me like you normally do. Justin doesn't even see them until I send him the run sheet anyways. And I purposely don't send him the run sheet until probably about 2 to 3 days, maybe
that
2 days.
That doesn't mean I won't shit on him and skip right over him I just did.
Hey.
What's number three?
That doesn't make any difference. Thank you for your question, Mike. I say it's a double cheeseburger, the waiter. Don't listen to Justin. His third question is, if you each had the opportunity, to ask Arn one question about John Cena, what would it be?
What do you say?
What question?
The John Cena.
Yeah. What one question about John Cena?
Yeah. What would be your question?
Yeah. Right. I'm lying.
I'm asking you.
Oh, what would be my question? I thought it was some sort of like you can't see me comment or something. It's so hard. I'm like, how? That's not the question. How do you bag somebody like Nikki? What the hell, Nikki Bella? There you go. I don't know. That's kind of like an open-end question. I don't really have really.
I think my question would be this. If I had them together, I would ask Arn and John this at the same time. What was your biggest disagreement you guys had together when Arn was being
managing, booking.
The agent for your matches?
Because there had to be some disagreements.
Yes, I'd like to see. Wonder what the biggest one would be. That would be my question. All right. That's a decent question, Money Mike. What you got last?
Okay. So his last one here, it looks like it's a pretty good one. He says, do you believe Arn will be best remembered for his in-ring work or his time as a coach/agent?
In-ring work. Because no one knows what he did as an agent. If you're only nerds like you, Mike, and me and RJ know that he's an agent for years.
Yeah.
So what will he be remember? Once again, a fucking stupid question. What's next?
Jesus Christ.
Get rid of Mike. I love to shit on Mike RJ. You know that. I don't. Yeah, I know. Notice how I don't shit on any of other question askers other than Mike.
You're going to get audited one of these times and you're going to really be begging him to help you out. And he's going to say, fuck you.
He won't have time to audit me because he'll be too busy asking some question to some random podcast on whatever when he's supposed to be working. But who we got next asking?
Jesus questions? Christ. We got Coach Rosie. Follow him at Coach Rosie.
Coach Rosie. I saw him at Top Guy Weekend.
Yeah. Well,
I saw him at the GCW. Effie's big gay brunch.
And he almost got his ass kicked.
Yes, I think he did.
Yeah. Anyways, he asked, what was our reaction when Arn hit Taker with a spine bust at WrestleMania?
I loved it. I absolutely got in my pants. I mean, seriously, it was one of the best run-ins of all time.
I legitimately it was about the same. And I basically play it on loop now. You can find it on YouTube. Just play it on loop. There's actually a YouTube video out there that has Arn's basically every spine buster he's ever had.
And listen, Rick has been in a lot of WrestleMania matches, a lot of big matches. This was the only one in WWE that Arn ran in, you know, and it was the only time that they kind of gave a throwback to the Four Horsemen in a way, you know what I mean? And the perfect guy to do it against was The Undertaker, because no one expects Arn to come in here and just fucking spine buster The Undertaker. And for The Undertaker to take it and sell it, dude, I think everyone loved that. Everybody loved that.
Oh, yeah, without question. All right, so thanks, Coach Rosie, for that.
Thank you, Coach Rosie.
Next person up is Top Gal Amy.
Oh, Lord.
At AmyRD_24.
Get the towels out.
Okay.
Not the terrible towels. Fuck them. We burn those, but the Hold other on. Towels.
I got to get my cleaning lady. Annette. Yeah, no. Those towels. No. Those are
all the terrible towels that beat the Bills' ass this weekend and caught and kicked me out of my Survivor League cuz I picked your fucking Bills, you douchebag. Take that Bills stuff off your wall right now. Take it off. I don't want to look at it.
Well, close your eyes then. Anyways, back to the question at hand. Sorry, Amy. If Arn would have stayed in the WWF/E instead of leaving with Tully, what kind of career do you think he would have had? Partnered up with somebody else from the Heenan family or make a singles run? We briefly touched on this.
We
kind of
did. I don't know. I mean, that's a hard one because you're asking me to get inside the mind of Vince McMahon in 1990.
Nobody can do
and
that.
I don't know that I could do that. Or Bruce Prichard, and I don't want to get in the mind of his anytime.
Right. so, I don't want to.
I don't know, Amy. I don't know if they would have shit on him without Tully and just kind of made him like a Terry Taylor type situation there, or if they would have done what I ask and put him up against Mr. Perfect turning face, or I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what, I honestly don't know the answer to that.
I really think they would have, let's say they keep him there. Tully gets suspended for getting popped for whatever he got popped for. I think
the funny thing is with Warlord and Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior and everyone there, Tully's the one that gets suspended.
Yeah. Imagine that, right? But say he stays there, Tully's out of the picture for the temporarily. We're seeing him staying with Heenan because I would think Arn would be smart enough to say, hey, I need Bobby because I can't necessarily do it on my own.
I don't think
Arn
needed Bobby. He didn't need Bobby for promos. I think he just needed Bobby for clout.
Well, right. No. And that's what I meant.
With the WWE fans. You know
that's
what
I meant. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
But I still say I'll go along the same lines as, okay, let's see him. He was a U.S. or TV champion. Let's see him as IC champion. Go against, like you said, Perfect.
That's funny, though. I thought about that earlier. He never was United States champion, was he?
No.
And that, to me, that's weird. Like, he should have been the U.S. champion at some point there.
Right. So, segue to that, Keith from the Mixed Tag Podcast asked something about the IC Championship. He said, Arn has said the TV title was his world title. But let's say he got the IC strap during the WWF tenure. Who's the best babyface option for that feud?
Already answered it.
Bret Hart.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm telling you, man, I think a Bret and Arn Anderson match at like SummerSlam or something would have been awesome.
So how about would've this? Great. This will be a shout. Another shout out to Poundwater Dave. What about Kerry Von Erich?
Yeah, I thought about that too. I think that's the more natural rival for him.
I think because they have that history and that honestly in 89, 90, 91, we'll say he's there permanently until then.
Honestly,
not a lot of people know that from back in WCCW and the NWA. They don't know about that feud that they had.
When I saw this question, Kerry's name was actually the first name that popped in my head because I'm thinking 90, 91.
Yeah.
What, babyface Intercontinental Champion? Well, Kerry Von Erich and him and Arn, you know, they could have worked. They already had, and they would have worked fine.
And I don't think you could have seen them turn Arn to a babyface.
Ricky Steamboat's another one.
Yeah, but I don't think he had the strap. I think he was the fucking the dragon at that point.
You're right.
And I think 89.
But I do think it's bullshit. They could have put this thing on Ricky.
Oh, no, without question.
Again.
Yeah.
They didn't. But, you know, that would have been cool, too, to see Arn and Ricky Steamboat, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a great match. I don't think I've ever seen that singles match. And maybe it's happened in NWA or something, but I've never seen it. I would like, if they ever did wrestle, someone let us know on Twitter because I'd like to watch that.
Yeah. All right. So thanks to Keith.
Oh my God, we got Eddie Prather next. Our boy, Eddie,
his top our guy, boy, Eddie.
Thank you, Eddie, man. Thanks for sending in a question, and it was great meeting you in Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you had to travel all that way with Coach Rosie.
Yeah,
that's got to be terrible.
Poor guy. That makes anybody a heel if you ride with him for so long. But Eddie asks, should Arn had a run with the WCW heavyweight title when Rick was in the WWF? So that was time frame. That would have been late 91, you know, early 92.
My immediate thought was no. But then thinking about the people that kind of got the belt at that around that
why
time,
not?
Like, yeah, why not? That's exactly right. So I would say yes.
I think here's
where WCW and Jim Herb fucked up. Mm-hmm. When you lose Flair, okay, I understand the Four Horsemen can't be what it was, but now you can cut a promo and be like, he's a traitor. He took our belt. This is the real Four Horsemen, and have JJ and try to bring back Tully. I would have brought back Tully at that time and then have like Barry Windham and Arn and make Arn the fucking leader of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been sweet as hell.
No, that would have definitely worked. Excuse me. All right. So Eddie, appreciate that. Go give him a follow at top_guys_heel on the Twitter gimmick. Next group of questions comes
He's
from
a
the
heel,
devilish one himself, devilish Devin Dowling.
Oh.
At Devin,
well, I thought of another name for him. I was thinking about this.
19.
You know, what about darling Devin Dowling?
Yeah, but he's devilish though. He's not really a darling. You know, I think that's your first mistake. You're thinking.
I try to think, but nothing happens.
Hey, you're the looks of this podcast. I'm supposed to be the brains.
You guys don't know that. That's an old Three Stooges line. I try to think, but nothing happens. Anyways, what's the devilish one got for us here?
He's got two. He's got a good one and,
and a good bad one. That's not a bad one. 50-50 ain't bad.
Yeah. So, yes, if Arn wasn't forced to retire into retirement in 96, what impact could he have had on the 2002 and plus WWE after the buyout? I think you're going to see him basically do what he did, you know, being that
he probably would have retired in like 99 instead of 97.
Yeah, I think you're still seeing him do a couple matches here and there. I'm trying to get these younger guys over, guys like Owen, guys like Shamrock, guys like Jarrett.
That would have been cool if Arn could have been in that Intercontinental mix with all them.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Right. Yeah. D'Lo Brown.
The Rock.
Yeah, get that kid up.
Imagine Arn and The Rock. That would actually be cool. Actually, talk about a dream match we were talking about earlier. Arn and The Rock, man, because Arn would sell like shit for The Rock, and Rock would sell like shit for Arn too. It would be good.
You mean Dwayne?
Dwayne Johnson, that's right.
Yeah. So now I think you're going to start seeing him. I agree with you on that, where he's going to probably see him retire, give him another 3-4 years. But then you're going to see him go back to the, you know, agent booth. You know, he's starting to be agents for certain wrestlers.
Oh, we're going to go into the weeds real quick.
Okay. Uh-oh.
What is your feelings on his firing of the WWE?
I think rumor and innuendo has it was, I believe
someone went out with some alcohol in their system to the ring, and yeah. Arn got the blame for it.
Because he was the agent of the match, pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. I think any way you look at it, it's shitty that they fired him for that.
It is.
But Arn being the professional that he is and was and forever will be, he was the agent. So I'm not speaking for him. This is just strictly my opinion. I think he felt responsible for it. So he wanted to take the blame for it and get fired instead of her.
Take the heat off of her. Yeah.
Right. I think it worked out pretty well for him.
Yes, it did.
And not so much for her.
Thank God he got this job with that Alabama Dream, making some extra money on the side.
Well, he's probably making selling mortgages on the side or something.
Listen, if I know Arn is not one of those guys after about 1988 that goes and spends money on stuff that he shouldn't.
No,
him and his wife have been married for years. They've been living in the same house. I'm sure Arn is fine.
Oh yeah.
What's our next question?
He asked, "Is Arn right? Cheese doesn't belong in a burger."
No, he's fucking wrong, and he's as wrong as he's ever been. That's ridiculous.
No.
Cheese and a burger. If you give me a burger without cheese, I'll throw it in the trash. You better give this motherfucker double cheese.
Motherfucker.
Double cheese, double onions, motherfucker.
Now, I'll make a side note on that. Cheese and a sunny side up egg.
Yes, I'm for it. Now, I know mayonnaise. I was just joking about the... No. Well, now you fucking
just
killed yourself. Well. Mayonnaise is the devil's condiment. First of all, it's a shapeshifter. When it gets hot, it turns translucent. It's weird. And I ain't putting that... I hear it called food glue. I don't need glue on my food. Get out of here, mayonnaise. It is my most hated thing ever. I hate mayonnaise. So I do believe that we can put some extra cheese on a burger, but if there's a drop of mayonnaise on it, throw it in the trash.
All right. So you said you hate mayonnaise, right? Do you eat tuna fish?
Yes. And here's what do with that.
What's in there?
Are you
mayonnaise?
Talking about my tuna fish sandwiches? Here's what I'll do. I'll drop a couple drops of mayonnaise in there and then hit it with the brown mustard. And just not have it be very much at all. And then I can eat it on some toast. That's how I do my tuna fish sandwiches. And salt and pepper and some hot sauce.
You don't like mayonnaise and they call you a redneck.
Dude, mayonnaise is awful. Awful, awful, awful.
That's like against the redneck code. You're supposed to like mayonnaise.
I'll tell all of our... listeners here. I almost said fans. There's no fans of us, but listeners.
Not anymore.
I mean, God, mayonnaise. Mm-mm.
This isn't going to end well, so I'm just going to move on, to be honest
with you. Listen, I can go all night on this. I was about to go into a rant, and I decided not to about mayonnaise.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that shit, anything that shapeshifts when it, I mean, it's not right. What's wrong with just some brown mustard on a sandwich? Why we got to put fucking mayonnaise on
there?
Now I know what I was going to say. Potato salad, ham salad, egg salad, bologna salad, whatever the fuck salad you want to make. You know what it is? It's another word for mayonnaise. I'm out on all of it. Throw it in the trash.
I'm so disappointed in you this week. I don't.
What's our next question?
I don't understand you anymore. Jesus Christ.
But yes, cheese should be on a burger. I usually agree with Arn Anderson on most everything, but I got to jump off the ship on this.
Well, we might as well jump off the ship to another question because it's not going to end well. And we're not going to end before midnight.
I feel like Money Mike would eat his burger without cheese too, because he'd be like, well, it makes my stomach upset.
And I can't get the cheese all over all my paperwork. It's going to dribble all over the cheese, and I got to get a napkin.
You know who he is? He's our Clint from Hershey.
Oh, yeah. Without question. So we got two more questions. We got two of the first time callers, longtime listeners, I guess, is Petopoulos. Find him on Twitter at Petopoulos, who another man I met in Chicago as well for the first time. He asked, this would only happen in a video game, but who's your pick to win a War Games match between Arn and the Horseman with Wyndham versus Arn and the Dangerous Alliance?
I'm going Dangerous Alliance. Anybody that's got Rick Rude is badass.
I'm going Horseman just because he said with Wyndham. If they would have said it with anybody else, I think Wyndham compliments him more. If you have to go against guys like a Rick Rude.
Steve Austin in there too.
Well, stunning Steve Austin. You got to be sure. isn't Stone Cold Steve Austin.
All right. We'll agree to disagree. I don't know. I just felt like the Horsemen always went over, and like the Alliance were always kind of more like badass. So I'm going Rick Rude, man, on that.
Of course you would. All right. Thanks for that.
You guys know Rick Rude's the best heel of all time. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Of course he is. So thanks for that, Pete. Our last question comes from Mike Hoop.
Did you ever see Rick Rude be nice to anyone in your life? Or try to portray a face in any which way in his whole career?
No.
He's a fucking great heel. Go ahead. Who we got? Mike fucking Hoop, my bro, who I got to talk to at Top Guy Weekend, and him and I had some shots with Pondwater Dave that eventually caused him to go comatose. What's Mike got for us?
Well, my roomie in Chicago asked, assuming Arn stayed in the WWF in 89, do you think there might be a face turn, and would Tully be alongside, or would they have feuded assuming that Tully stayed too? So I'm assuming he's saying, hey, Arn stays in 89 and Tully stays. Do they stay face?
Okay. So I'm going to say you're going to keep him with Bobby until what? Late 89 or early 90, whenever Bobby. No, I think you can keep him with Bobby through 90 into early 91. And then do the breakup, just like the Rockers. You know, I don't think that, Arn's going to send Tully through the barbershop, but somehow break it up. And to me, I think Arn could be the face and Tully be the bad guy. And then after that, you know, we've talked about that. I don't know. The one thing Mike is bringing up is something I've thought about a lot. I wish that Vince would have just paid Arn and Tully whatever he said he was going to pay him, and Arn when they got pissed and left, because I feel like there was still a lot of meat left on that bone in WWE. And I think that's what Mike's getting at here.
I thought about this too, and I like this question, so thanks for this, Mike. I think they should have stayed, give him the just due. That's what they at least deserved. If they both stayed, I would have rather seen one of them be a face, one of them be a heel, preferably have Tully be the face and Arn be the heel. And then just have them go at it, you know, have them.
Yeah,
one of these
that's how you start. That's how you start it off. Yeah.
And then you started off like Nikita and Magnum had with the Best of Seven series. You could have that go all year long. you know, and to have that booking, you say they're in 89, 90, fuck man, especially in the WWF, kid, that would sell hand over fist.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways,
thank you, Mike Hoop, for sending in a question and listening. We appreciate it.
Oh yeah.
Now so, we're going to my favorite thing of the week.
Well, first I want to say thank you to all the listeners.
Yes.
That asked us questions this week. Now we can go to your favorite segment of the week. We're going to add two more to our list of wrestling entrances to go over what we have right now.
I don't know. Actually, the listener questions this week might be my favorite question. They were pretty on this week.
Well, then you got
other than Money Mike, of course.
Well, there you go. Then you get to shit on him. So as of right now, these are our standings right now, Justin. Steve Austin is leading the pack, then the NWO, then Undertaker, Bret Hart, Roddy Piper, Rick Rude, Shawn Michaels, and we round out at Owen Hart as the Rocket.
And I hate that Owen's music is last because Owen's music is fucking great. I love that.
I spoiler alert. I'm really positive. My selection, I strictly did it so Owen wouldn't be last this week because I felt the same way because I didn't want Owen to be last. So, but do you want to start with mine this week or do you want to go first?
I'll let you roll. God damn it.
Beer in cans, motherfucker. All right, I can't do anymore. I'm sorry. Like I said, that was the only reason why I basically put his last because I really didn't want to deal with it.
Dude.
And I didn't want there are to be some last. People,
and I just want to make everyone aware, there are some people in this world that think that that song is better than Real American. And Cody Rhodes and whoever else thinks that opinion can go fuck yourself because you're really deranged and you need to go get help.
So note to self, everyone, I did not hear the beginning of that sentence because I was a moron and muted my volume so I couldn't hear Justin. Normally you would think that would work, but when you're trying to figure out what the hell he's saying and all you see is his mouth moving, not a good reaction. But anyways, I'm pretty sure that you probably just crapped on that whole thing and I appreciate that.
I just crapped on Cody Rhodes. I said, if anyone like Cody Rhodes thinks that that song is better than Real American, yeah, they should really go get checked out by a psychiatrist.
I think he's been hitting the head too many times. I think that chair
song
shot
is fucking terrible.
I think
and
that
I
chair
love
shot
you,
from
Jimmy Hart, and I know you wrote it. That's a fucking terrible song, baby.
Yeah. So that chair shot from Sean Spears on Cody Rhodes probably really knocked something loose. So without further ado,
we can go ahead and rank that last, right?
Oh no, I already put it on my list as last, so Owen didn't have to go last.
Thank God.
So we're gonna go next with yours. We'll get a cease and desist order or something from everything. So
love that song, bro.
It's
just so simple, but so good for a heel team. Just
but you don't need to have
And the horses coming in at the beginning is awesome.
But you don't need to have a song like a Demolition Song or the Road Warriors where you need those the strong
the Heart Foundation that dun dun dun. You know, you don't have to have.
Yeah.
Short, there's another way. This is the way.
The other way. Right. Short, simple, to the point. As far as rankings, I'd say it's top five. It's not definitely not bottom five. I can tell you that much. I don't know how high you can really put it.
Can you read us the list one more time now that we have Hogan at the end?
So, yeah, right. So from the top to the bottom, we have Steve Austin leading the pack, NWO Black and White, Undertaker, Bret Hart, Roddy Piper, Rick Rude, Shawn Michaels, Owen Hart as the Rocket, and Hulk Hogan's WCW theme.
Okay, I think I know where I want to put it.
Okay, where do you think?
I want to put it right either above or behind Rick Rude, right in that area.
I thought about that, but putting it slightly above him, between him and Piper.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
I was even thinking about him going as high as five between Brett and Piper. So,
I can put it.
Horseman would be five.
I can put it above six. Piper if you want to. I can do that.
I just think it's a little bit.
It's a lot of heel music gets underappreciated.
Yeah.
Because you can't have like you can't have music like psychs up the crowd as a heel, right?
Yeah.
But this music doesn't psych up the crowd, but it's just fucking classic.
Yeah.
It's classic shit.
All right. So we'll put it at number five right now. Obviously things will change going forward.
I think the horse is galloping in. That kind of does something for it.
Oh yeah, without question. So our list going into next week, we now have 10 on this list, Justin.
Yeah, well, it's growing.
So I was going to make a comment, but I'm going to take one shot.
It's not growing here, but it's growing there. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Anyways, I'm dying. So we got number one, Steve Austin. Number two, NWO. Number three, Undertaker. Number four, Bret Hart. Number five, the Horseman.
Yes.
Number six, Roddy Piper. Number seven, Rick Rude. Eight, Shawn Michaels. Nine, Owen Hart as a Rocket. And last, but certainly deserved least,
yes,
Hulk Hogan, WCW.
Come on, Cody Rhodes.
So anybody, I think we're getting on a routine now where we're pretty much going to try to get music from that said era, if we're doing a certain talent like we did this week with Arn.
Like, and then what we've been trying to do is kind of match it up to said shows or that person's era or whatever. So, you know,
So before we get into our plugs for next week, you can follow us on Twitter @_ringsiderant and @JD2040. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts, wherever you're hearing this, subscribe. Shout outs to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Network, full press coverage, Wrestling with Johnners, as well as the Visionaries Global Media for having us on their networks.
Great
to be a part of that. Shout out to JD Hoop for the show art. Shout out to Ravenscroft for the theme song. Rebel, go check them out online.
Shout out to Conrad Thompson for doing Top Guy Weekend.
Amen to that. Amen to that. We'll talk about that again. Merchandise, go over to ringsiderant.whatforapparel.com. Check out our new shirt designs over there. I wore one to Top Guy Weekend. Frank Bruin and I both matched.
Shout out to Money Mike for asking shitty questions again this week.
Jesus Christ.
I had just a little bit left in the chamber.
Jesus. Apparently, I thought you'd use it for Bret Hart reference, but
I can't say that. I almost said this is the first show I didn't get a reference in.
No, you did. But no, seriously, thanks everybody for tuning in again this week. Next week, Justin, we're going to go old school. We're going to stay in 1986 for next week. Low key, one of the best years in professional wrestling, NWA and WWF is where we're going. Saturday night's main event, 7.
It's my obsession. It's your obsession. Where you want me to be. I love that obsession intro for Saturday Night Main Event back in the day, man. That was awesome.
And I thought we'd get away with you not singing this week, but I guess we're
got
wrong.
I finally got a couple notes in.
Just a yes, few.
I'm super excited to talk about Saturday Night's Main Event, man. I loved that as a kid. You know,
yeah,
Saturday Night's
so
Main
did
Event
I, yeah.
was awesome. Yeah.
But this is kind of weird because if you guys want to go watch it on the Peacock, it is on there as airing on October 4th of 86. It got recorded, taped, whatever, on September 13th of 86. So if you want to watch this before next week, which you certainly can, in preparation for it, it is October 4th of 1986. And you kind of have to go looking for it. It's not really accessible. I had to actually remember how to get to it myself because fucking Peacock sucks.
What'd you say about sucking the cock?
It sucks.
Oh, okay.
Wait. God damn it. Anyways, we're just going to close.
We're really out of time.
their tape recorders are rolling. We're just rolling. God damn it. Okay. Yes, son of a bitch, I got to stop recording. But seriously, though, we appreciate everybody for tuning in this week. Get your questions in to our DMs if you want to ask us questions for Saturday night's main event 7. Honestly, go throw in the Google machine, too, because you can get your card. It's headlined by Hogan and Orndorff in a classic match. We got a couple good matches on there, too. But go over, check that out. Any questions about any of these guys or any of these this event, certainly let
Money,
us know.
Money Mike will have to do his research because he was about 20 years in the womb at this point. So
yeah, he's negative 20.
Yeah.
So on that note, thank you, Money Mike, for asking questions this week. Don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. That is Justin Davis. But seriously, Justin, you got anything else before we close shop? Or
I would say go Reds, but they suck now. So go Bengals. They're undefeated.
Mount up. Mount up.
Yeah, Bills Mafia. They suck.
Bills Mafia.